Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter 8. The book of Mark, chapter 8. Mark is in between Matthew and Luke. Just in case you didn't know, it's always good to give those helpful tips out to folks who don't know those things. We're going to begin reading in verse number 8, or chapter 8, verse number 34 to 38. Title of the message tonight is simply called Deny Yourself. Deny Yourself. So let's begin reading here. It says, "And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he cometh into the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful tonight that we are able to gather around your word. God, I pray that, again, that you would just draw our hearts closer to you during this time. Lord, I pray tonight that your word would be very encouraging to us as we study it here in a little bit. God, I pray for the ones that we mentioned here earlier for prayer requests. We think of Heather and Jade. That you would work and heal in their bodies. We think of Dominique's grandmother. God, you know the need of the hour there in that family. God, I just pray that you just, Lord, if it's your will to heal her, we ask that be done. God, I pray that you just be with Linda tonight as she is going through the loss of her sister. So unexpected for her. And God, I pray that you just bring her peace and comfort during these times. And we're grateful that we can come to you in our time of need and sorrow. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen. Tonight, as we go through Mark chapter 8, 34 through 38, we're going to look at three very important things that I believe that we must do according to God's word when it comes to being with Jesus. And these are something that I believe that we need to apply to our lives on a daily basis. So as I begin to give you these three things that we need to do in our lives, my question to you tonight before we get any further to this is, are you willing or are we willing to do what it takes to be with him? As Jesus gathers the crowd, and let me remind you, when Jesus was around on this earth, Jesus had no problem having people around him. People flocked to him. And so wherever Jesus went, there was a crowd that was with him. Whether it be a large crowd, whether it be just him and his disciples, there was a crowd with him. And usually when Jesus was with somebody, Jesus usually began to speak. He would offer his advice, he would offer his wisdom, and would give them the word of God as well. And so he would begin to speak to them, as he would in this particular chapter here. As he's speaking to them, he gives them three things that need to be met in order to come after him. He said, "Whosoever will come after me." And then there is a list of three things that needs to take place in the life of individuals. And as I begin to mention these three things, I will remind you this: it will take great dedication, and it will take a great ability to stay focused during this process. Dedication is giving your time and effort into something that you truly believe in. And you need to have the ability to stay focused, because so often we lose focus on the job that's ahead. We lose focus, let's be honest with ourselves, we lose focus while we're driving. Has anybody ever done that? A couple years ago, I was on my way to the mission to give a message. And my brother called me, and we're talking. And he asked, "Hey, what are you doing?" I said, "Hey, I'm going to the mission. You caught me at a good time, so I got about 5 minutes to talk to you. Then I got to get off the phone." Well, as we were talking, I asked my brother, I said, "Matt, what am I doing? He goes, you're going to the mission. Well, I was already at the airport at this time. I forgot where I was going. Why did I forget where I was going? Because I lost focus. And we do that on a daily basis. And you know what? We do that even when we're reading God's word. We will lose focus when we're reading God's word. And I believe that when that happens, I believe that's Satan trying to get our minds off of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to be dedicated, and we need to stay focused during this process. So as we continue to go on, the first one that we will look at tonight is in verse 34. And that is the first one. It says, and let him deny himself. What does it mean to deny yourself? Self-denial is an act of letting go of self. It's a willingness to forego pleasures or undergo personal trials in the pursuit of the increased good of another. Jesus already knows the answer when it comes to this in our lives, but he is challenging us to let go of the pleasures that will keep us from pursuing him. And that's where I'm talking about. It will take great dedication, and it will take an ability to stay focused, because so often we want to give in to the pleasures of this world instead of giving into the pleasures of God. So our pleasures will keep us from pursuing him. And I'm guilty of that, just like probably everybody else in here tonight. But our pleasures, what do they do to us? Well, our pleasures hinder us from serving God the way that he desires us to serve him. And it could rob us of many blessings that he wants to bestow upon us. I don't know about you, but I love being blessed by God. I think it's a great thing that God wants to bless his people. And so I don't want to put my pleasures above the pleasures of God, because I don't want to be robbed of blessings. And so I enjoy being blessed by God. So as we continue to go on, for an example here, what has kept us, think about this, what has kept us from reading God's word daily? And I'll give you the answer. The answer is self. Why is it self? Because we seek to indulge ourselves in the pleasures of this world. We have literally 24 hours a day to do the things that we desire to do. So often we give more time into focusing upon how we can look physically. So often we put more time in what we can gain out of Hollywood, and we'll spend countless hours throughout the day watching television, and that takes up a lot of time. But we forget about, what are we supposed to do as a believer? Don't indulge in the things of this world, but indulge ourselves in the Word of God. So we seek to indulge ourselves in the pleasures of this world. Now, let me ask you a question. Can we enjoy the things of this earth? Without a doubt, yes, we can. We can enjoy the things of this earth. But if it's taken place over God, there is a problem with that. And a lot of folks don't realize that. But we can enjoy these things, but God needs to be first in our lives, and not the pleasures of this world. So it should never take place over God. Jesus doesn't want our walk to be hindered, which is why he says to deny yourself. And when we deny ourselves, we are saying that we value Christ. We value a relationship with him. We want to please him, because it's not about pleasing ourselves. It's about pleasing our Lord. And I know I've said this on numerous occasions, but not everybody here has been to camp. And I can't remember how many years ago it's been, but one particular year, it was the theme, it's all about him. I mean, it has nothing to do with us. It's all about him. And so when we deny ourselves, we're realizing the great value that Jesus has. And when we realize that, we want to please him. The second thing that we are to do is to take up his cross. So often people think, well, to take up his cross means that we are to pick up Jesus' burden and carry it around. That's not what's being said here in Mark chapter 8, verse number 34. has nothing to do with saying picking up Jesus' burden. Take up his cross means being willing to die in order to follow Jesus. This, again, is called dying to self. Let me explain here just a little bit. Jesus was willing to die for us. The question is, are you willing to die for him? The cross that Jesus carried took him to Calvary. He was placed there on the cross. He was there to suffer. He was there to be humiliated. He was there to be mocked, scorned. And then as those events begin to take place, he eventually died for us. See, are you willing to take up his cross? Are you willing to go through what Jesus went through? Are you willing to do those things? So often, when we get ridiculed, what do we want to do? We want to stick our head in between our tails, or tells him, whatever. I just lost my place here, so. No, my screen went totally blank. You guys can laugh all you want. I thought it was funny, too, but darn paper don't do this to me. Bear with me. I'm getting back there. So are you willing to be humiliated? Are you willing to suffer? Are you willing to go through those things? Because that's what Christ did for us. So as we continue to go on, again, I've heard people say in expression to others, I would take a bullet for you. Has anybody ever heard that expression? Why, if I didn't have a chance to take a bullet for you, but if a speeding car was coming right at you, I would throw myself in front of that car and I would take the hit for you. I've heard many of those things. And let's be honest with ourselves. I don't think a lot of us in here would be willing to do something of that nature. Jesus was willing to die for us. The question is, are you willing to die for him? The cross that Jesus carried took him to Calvary. And so as we begin to go on here, think about this. If you aren't willing to die for Jesus, what makes you think you'd be willing to die for others? Think about that statement. Oh, I'll take a bullet for you. I'll throw myself in front of a car for you. But when it comes to Jesus, we kind of back off on those things. Why? For this reason. We value our lives. And I would be confident in saying this. Not too many people would take a bullet for me. Let's be honest. We would try to do everything we can to get out of that situation. No, that bullet's marked for Chad Springer. I'm going to let him take that. And so I'm going to step away. You know, and that's not being mean towards anybody here, but all out of honesty, if we're being honest, the only two people that I would probably do those things for would be my wife and daughter. When it comes to anybody else, I say, sorry, Jack, you're on your own. And if you're Jack in here tonight, forgive me. But that's why we are like that, because we value our lives. Sure, we would do whatever it takes to protect our families, as I just mentioned. But most would pass up on that opportunity. I'm going to share something with you. One thing that I like to do when I get home at night, I like to wind down. And I like to wind down with some comedy. Believe it or not, I like to laugh. And laughing adds years to your life. Some of you are probably going to die tomorrow because you haven't laughed in 15 years. Laughing is good medicine. You know, when pastors in the hospital or when we go visit somebody in the hospital, one thing that I like to do is I like to make people laugh. I have a very dry sense of humor, and some people get it, some people don't. And so I like to laugh. And one of the things that I like to do is people are always constantly getting Jeff and I confused as twins. It has happened more recently this year than it has in years past. I feel sorry for Jeff, thinking that people think that we're twins. Because we're so many years apart. Aren't we, Jeff? I'm just seeing if he's listening. But so what we normally do, or what I normally do, when a nurse comes in, whoever comes in, I always say, hey, who looks older? And they step back and they take a look, and usually they point at me. Sometimes they point at Jeff, not so often. But what happens during that time? We provide laughter. Laughing is fun. I enjoy doing it. So anyway, so I like to wind down. I like to end my night because sometimes our days are filled with grief. Some days our days are filled with some tribulation, and it's just good to end on a good note. And so I like to sit down, and I like to watch some comedy shows. Anybody like watching comedy shows? You know, I like Andy Taylor. That's good comedy. You know, I grew up watching those guys. I grew up watching Abbott and Costello and Laurel and Hardy. Love those guys. Charlie Chaplin, even though I didn't hear a word he said, but he was funny. That's the guy who couldn't speak and made us laugh for all his antics that he did. But I remember watching this one particular episode. Here's a husband and a wife. They're on a trip, and they're just returning home, and they're on an airplane. And they're just getting ready to land. Matter of fact, the pilot came on and says, ladies and gentlemen, we're getting ready to land. We got you your place, the destination, safely. And all of a sudden, the tires, they came out of the airplane. You got to have tires on the airplane when you're landing. So those tires came out, and they came down, and the tires hit the ground. Here they come into their landing. All of a sudden, the oxygen bags deploy. Well, the oxygen mask didn't deploy on the husband's side. Now, remember, we're talking about we're going to do everything that we can to protect our families. I'll take a bullet for you. I'll get in front of a car. Well, this guy, his oxygen bag didn't come down. You know what he did? Jumps across his wife, grabs her oxygen thing, and just puts it on and starts breathing real heavily. Boy, she was mad at him. Starts hitting him. He's like, you fool. We're on the ground. You don't need an oxygen mask. But she was upset because he valued his life more than she valued his. You know, we laugh, but this is so true. We care more about ourselves than we do others at times. Why? Because let's face it, as I said Sunday morning, we're in love with ourselves. And that's why we care more about ourselves. So Christ wants us just to be willing to take his cross. And as we know, self gets in the way from us trying to take Jesus' cross. Why? Because we care more about ourselves than we do Jesus. That's the God honest truth. So let's continue to move on here tonight. The third thing that we're able to do is this. Let's read again. It says, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, number one. Number two, and take up his cross. The third thing that we must do is we must want and have the desire to follow him. And I'll be the first one to admit tonight, following Jesus can be intimidating. Following Jesus can be scary at times. Because we don't know what we're getting into. Oh man, I just got called into the ministry and God might take me to Africa or God might take me to China or Japan, all across this world, away from my family that I've loved. That's intimidating. That's scary. But with that being said, even though it can be intimidating, can be scary, be very life-changing, but following Jesus at the same time is very, very rewarding. It's very rewarding. When we choose to follow Christ, a few things should be noticeably different about all of us. Let me give you a few things that should be different about us as we begin to follow our journey following Christ. One would be our attitude. Our attitude should be totally different than that of the world. I've noticed something about people who don't follow him, and that is this. They have a horrible, disgusting ugly attitude. And it shows in her life. You know, people that have bad attitudes are usually people that are alone, that generally don't have a lot of friends or a lot of acquaintances around their side. They're lonely people. Think about this. Your friends that you have been a part of, when you have a bad attitude, what do? They steer clear of you. Our attitudes should be different than out of the world's. I'm not talking about the unsaved here tonight. I'm talking about the saved who still choose not to follow him. Yes, you can accept Jesus Christ's salvation, but there are some who choose not to follow him. It's not just about accepting his salvation. That's great. That's the first thing that needs to take place. But then after salvation, we need to follow him. And I'm talking about the saved tonight. Let's face it, we do not always have a Christ-like attitude towards others. You know, I grew up, heard this statement over and over and over again in my life. You have a bad attitude. You know what? I still hear it after 26 years of marriage. You have a bad attitude, Chad. You better straighten up. So not only did it come from my mom and my dad, but now I married a wife who has a great memory when I have a bad attitude. So she's telling me, hey, you know what she's telling me? Here's what she's telling me, Julie. Chad, don't be ugly. That's what she's telling me. Your attitude makes you ugly. And so people that are normally have a horrible attitude are lonely, and a lot of the saved have bad attitudes. I want to be honest with you. I do not like being around people who have such negative attitudes. For this reason, if I'm around somebody who has a negative or bad attitude, guess what? That's an influence on me. And so when I begin to allow myself to communicate with people that way, I fall into their realm of living, and I begin to portray the same negative, bad attitude that they have. And guess what? We try to bring more people in our group. That's what normally happens. I don't like being around people like that because I know what it makes me. And I don't want to be affected by their bad attitudes. They're negative. And to be honest with you, they're not very much fun to be around. And who in their right mind would want to be around a Debbie Downer all the time? Oh, isn't it such a great day? The sun's shining. Yeah, but it might rain later. Oh, look at that. The sun came out and the grass is growing. What a great day. Yeah, but you got to get the mower out and cut it. You know, oh man, we just got 20 inches of snow. Yeah, but you got to shovel it. That's what I'm talking about. Debbie Downers. Debbie Downers usually have negative attitudes. They're never looking at the positive. And so as you begin to follow Jesus, our attitude should reflect who we are following. The other benefit that we have when following him is we have a new appreciation for him. We have a new appreciation for him. You know, when speaking of appreciation, when you begin to further your prayer life with the Lord and you begin to ask him for specific things, whether it be for healing, financial, family matters, things of that nature, and God begins to answer those prayers, you know what really happens? You begin to appreciate Jesus for who he is, for who he truly is. So you begin to appreciate him. Not only do you begin to appreciate him, but then you begin to appreciate his word. You know, it's amazing how the word of God has something in there for everything in life. No matter what you're going through, you can open up God's word and rest assured you're going to be lifted up. Where do people normally go when they're down and out, feeling sad? They usually go to the book of Psalms. Why? Because the book of Psalms is very encouraging. Oh man, this is exactly how I feel. And the exact same emotions that I had, that David had. And look what God did to David. God delivered him. So we begin to not only appreciate him, but then we begin to appreciate his word. And then it does a third thing for us. It begins to help us to appreciate his church. And I'm not talking about these four walls that we're in tonight. Again, this is just a building. This building is going to come and go one of these days. Built up, put up by strong, able men back in the day. And someday it's going to come to a crumble. I'm talking about the church, the body, the people. So we have a new appreciation for his church. Have you ever noticed our lack of readings of scriptures and seeking him in prayer suffers when we choose not to follow him? It suffers when we choose not to follow him. I'm going to begin winding down here. Verse number 36. Let's read this to the end of the chapter. It says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Again, that's talking about deny yourself. Don't seek yourself in the pleasures of this world, because what are you willing to risk? What are you willing to lose? Or, as it says in verse number 37, "Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" We are not put on this earth to gain the world. Gaining the world is an attempt to lose our soul. So what are you willing to exchange for your soul? Finally, verse number 38 says, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh into the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Man, this verse really hit me last night. It truly did. Because I can recall on many occasions, and you probably can too, where we have been ashamed of our faith. We've been ashamed for what we have stood for. You know, as they were closing down last Friday in the chaplain conference, which I appreciated it so much. I really did. I gained so much from it. And I'm looking forward to what God has to do in this next year. But one of the things that they said at the end was this, because in chaplaincies, you're going to be working with all sorts of different chaplains of different backgrounds, whether it be a Catholic chaplain, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, Methodist, whatever, then throw in a Baptist as well. And so you're going to be working with all those. You're going to be working with all sorts of people that you're going to try to serve and help them out through their tough moments in life. And I'll never forget the words that I believe it was Tottingham that said this: "Do not be ashamed of your faith. Be proud of where you come from. Be proud of what you believe in." And that's such a true statement. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. Be proud that you are his. Boast about him. Let the world know that you are not ashamed of being a follower of Christ. Because the last part of this verse hit me between the eyes. It says, "Of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." There's nothing worse that I believe as you're growing up in life, disappointing your parents. Disappointing them. Discouraging them. But now that I'm a saved individual and I serve a Heavenly Father, the worst thing that I can think of is being a disappointment to my Heavenly Father. I don't want that. Don't be ashamed of him. Be proud. boast about him. Let the world know that you love him and that he means something to you. And I tell you what, that will change people's outlook on who he is. Boast about him. Let's have a word of prayer and we will be dismissed tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful that we are able to gather here once again. Lord, thank you for your words tonight. Help us as we leave from here tonight to deny ourselves, to take up your cross, and then to follow you. Lord, I pray that we would take this on every single day. We thank you for your love tonight. As it says in your word, we only love because you first loved us. Bless our people as we leave from here tonight. We ask you these things in your name. Amen. Hindered, which is why he says to deny yourself. And when we deny ourselves, we are saying that we value Christ. We value a relationship with him. We want to please him because it's not about pleasing ourselves. It's about pleasing our Lord. And I know I've said this on numerous occasions, but not everybody here has been to camp. And I can't remember how many years ago it's been, but one particular year, it was the theme, it's all about him. I mean, it has nothing to do with us. It's all about him. And so when we deny ourselves, we're realizing the great value that Jesus has. And when we realize that, we want to please him. The second thing that we are to do is to take up his cross. So often people think, well, to take up his cross means that we are to pick up Jesus' burden and carry it around. That's not what's being said here in Mark chapter 8, verse number 34. It has nothing to do with saying picking up Jesus' burden. Take up his cross means being willing to die in order to follow Jesus. This, again, is called dying to self. Let me explain here just a little bit. Jesus was willing to die for us. The question is, are you willing to die for him? The cross that Jesus carried took him to Calvary. He was placed there on the cross. He was there to suffer. He was there to be humiliated. He was there to be mocked, scorned. And then as those events begin to take place, he eventually died for us. See, are you willing to take up his cross? Are you willing to go through what Jesus went through? Are you willing to do those things? So often, when we get ridiculed, what do we want to do? We want to stick our head in between our tails, or tells him, whatever. I just lost my place here, so. No, my screen went totally blank. You guys can laugh all you want. I thought it was funny, too, but darn paper don't do this to me. Bear with me, I'm getting back there. So are you willing to be humiliated? Are you willing to suffer? Are you willing to go through those things? Because that's what Christ did for us. So as we continue to go on, again, I've heard people say in expression to others, I would take a bullet for you. Has anybody ever heard that expression? Why, if I didn't have a chance to take a bullet for you, but if a speeding car was coming right at you, I would throw myself in front of that car and I would take the hit for you. I've heard many of those things. And let's be honest with ourselves. I don't think a lot of us in here would be willing to do something of that nature. Jesus was willing to die for us. The question is, are you willing to die for him? The cross that Jesus carried took him to Calvary. So as we begin to go on here, think about this. If you aren't willing to die for Jesus, what makes you think you'd be willing to die for others? Think about that statement. Oh, I'll take a bullet for you. I'll throw myself in front of a car for you. But when it comes to Jesus, we kind of back off on those things. Why? For this reason. We value our lives. And I would be confident in saying this. Not too many people would take a bullet for me. Let's be honest. We would try to do everything we can to get out of that situation. No, that bullet's marked for Chad Springer. I'm going to let him take that. And so I'm going to step away. You know, and that's not being mean towards anybody here. But all out of honesty, if we're being honest, the only two people that I would probably do those things for would be my wife and daughter. When it comes to anybody else, I say, sorry, Jack, you're on your own. And if you're Jack in here tonight, forgive me. But that's why we are like that, because we value our lives. Sure, we would do whatever it takes to protect our families, as I just mentioned. But most would pass up on that opportunity. I'm going to share something with you. One thing that I like to do when I get home at night, I like to wind down. And I like to wind down with some comedy. Believe it or not, I like to laugh. And laughing adds years to your life. Some of you are probably going to die tomorrow because you haven't laughed in 15 years. Laughing is good medicine. You know, when pastors in the hospital or when we go visit somebody in the hospital, one thing that I like to do is I like to make people laugh. I have a very dry sense of humor, and some people get it, some people don't. And so I like to laugh. And one of the things that I like to do is people are always constantly getting Jeff and I confused as twins. It has happened more recently this year than it has in years past. I feel sorry for Jeff, thinking that people think that we're twins because we're so many years apart. Aren't we, Jeff? I'm just seeing if he's listening. But so what we normally do, or what I normally do, when a nurse comes in, whoever comes in, I always say, hey, who looks older? And they step back and they take a look, and usually they point at me. Sometimes they point at Jeff, not so often. But what happens during that time? We provide laughter. Laughing is fun. I enjoy doing it. So anyway, so I like to wind down. I like to end my night because sometimes our days are filled with grief. Some days our days are filled with some tribulation, and it's just good to end on a good note. And so I like to sit down, and I like to watch some comedy shows. Anybody like watching comedy shows? You know, I like Andy Taylor. That's good comedy. You know, I grew up watching those guys. I grew up watching Abbott and Costello and Laurel and Hardy. Love those guys. Charlie Chaplin, even though I didn't hear a word he said, but he was funny. That's the guy who couldn't speak and made us laugh for all of his antics that he did. But I remember watching this one particular episode. Here's a husband and a wife. They're on a trip, and they're just returning home, and they're on an airplane. And they're just getting ready to land. Matter of fact, the pilot came on and says, ladies and gentlemen, we're getting ready to land. We got you your place, the destination, safely. And all of a sudden, what do you call those tires? They came out of the airplane. You got to have tires on the airplane when you're landing. So those tires came out, and they came down, and the tires hit the ground. Here they come into their landing. All of a sudden, the oxygen bags deploy. Well, the oxygen mask didn't deploy on the husband's side. Now, remember, we're talking about we're going to do everything that we can to protect our families. I'll take a bullet for you. I'll get in front of a car. Well, this guy, his oxygen bag didn't come down. You know what he did? Jumps across his wife, grabs her oxygen thing, and just puts it on and starts breathing real heavily. Boy, she was mad at him. Starts hitting him. It's like, you fool. We're on the ground. You don't need an oxygen mask. But she was upset because he valued his life more than she valued his. You know, we laugh, but this is so true. We care more about ourselves than we do others at times. Why? Because let's face it, as I said Sunday morning, we're in love with ourselves. And that's why we care more about ourselves. So Christ wants us just to be willing to take his cross. And as we know, self gets in the way from us trying to take Jesus' cross. Why? Because we care more about ourselves than we do Jesus. That's the God honest truth. So let's continue to move on here tonight. The third thing that we're able to do is this. Let's read again. It says, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, number one. Number two, and take up his cross. The third thing that we must do is we must want and have the desire to follow him. And I'll be the first one to admit tonight, following Jesus can be intimidating. Following Jesus can be scary at times because we don't know what we're getting into. Oh man, I just got called into the ministry and God might take me to Africa or God might take me to China or Japan, all across this world away from my family that I've loved. That's intimidating. That's scary. But with that being said, even though it can be intimidating, can be scary, be very life-changing, but following Jesus at the same time is very, very rewarding. It's very rewarding. When we choose to follow Christ, a few things should be noticeably different about all of us. Let me give you a few things that should be different about us as we begin to follow our journey following Christ. One would be our attitude. Our attitude should be totally different than that of the world. I've noticed something about people who don't follow him, and that is this. They have a horrible, disgusting, ugly attitude. And it shows in their life. You know, people that have bad attitudes are usually people that are alone, that generally don't have a lot of friends or a lot of acquaintances around their side. They're lonely people. Think about this. Your friends that you have been a part of, when you have a bad attitude, what do? They steer clear of you. Our attitudes should be different than out of the world's. I'm not talking about the unsaved here tonight. I'm talking about the saved who still choose not to follow him. Yes, you can accept Jesus Christ's salvation, but there are some who choose not to follow him. It's not just about accepting his salvation. That's great. That's the first thing that needs to take place. But then after salvation, we need to follow him. And I'm talking about the saved tonight. Let's face it, we do not always have a Christ-like attitude towards others. You know, I grew up, heard this statement over and over and over again in my life. You have a bad attitude. You know what? I still hear it after 26 years of marriage. You have a bad attitude, Chad. You better straighten up. So not only did it come from my mom and my dad, but now I married a wife who has a great memory when I have a bad attitude. So she's telling me, hey, you know what she's telling me? Here's what she's telling me, Julie. Chad, don't be ugly. That's what she's telling me. Your attitude makes you ugly. And so people that are normally have a horrible attitude are lonely, and a lot of the saved have bad attitudes. I want to be honest with you. I do not like being around people who have such negative attitudes. For this reason, if I'm around somebody who has a negative or bad attitude, guess what? That's an influence on me. And so when I begin to allow myself to communicate with people that way, I fall into their realm of living, and I begin to portray the same negative, bad attitude that they have. And guess what? We try to bring more people in our group. That's what normally happens. I don't like being around people like that because I know what it makes me. And I don't want to be affected by their bad attitudes. They're negative. And to be honest with you, they're not very much fun to be around. And who in their right mind would want to be around a Debbie Downer all the time? Oh, isn't it such a great day? The sun's shining. Yeah, but it might rain later. Oh, look at that. The sun came out and the grass is growing. What a great day. Yeah, but you got to get the mower out and cut it. You know, oh man, we just got 20 inches of snow. Yeah, but you got to shovel it. That's what I'm talking about. Debbie Downers. Debbie Downers usually have negative attitudes. They're never looking at the positive. And so as you begin to follow Jesus, our attitude should reflect who we are following. The other benefit that we have when following him is we have a new appreciation for him. We have a new appreciation for him. You know, when speaking of appreciation, when you begin to further your prayer life with the Lord and you begin to ask him for specific things, whether it be for healing, financial, family matters, things of that nature, and God begins to answer those prayers, you know what really happens? You begin to appreciate Jesus for who he is, for who he truly is. So you begin to appreciate him. Not only do you begin to appreciate him, but then you begin to appreciate his word. You know, it's amazing how the word of God has something in there for everything in life. No matter what you're going through, you can open up God's word and rest assured you're going to be lifted up. Where do people normally go when they're down and out, feeling sad? They usually go to the book of Psalms. Why? Because the book of Psalms is very encouraging. Oh man, this is exactly how I feel. And the exact same emotions that I had, that David had. And look what God did to David. God delivered him. So we begin to not only appreciate him, but then we begin to appreciate his word. And then it does a third thing for us. It begins to help us to appreciate his church. And I'm not talking about these four walls that we're in tonight. Again, this is just a building. This building is going to come and go one of these days. Built up, put up by strong, able men back in the day. And someday it's going to come to a crumble. I'm talking about the church, the body, the people. So we have a new appreciation for his church. Have you ever noticed our lack of readings of scriptures and seeking him in prayer suffers when we choose not to follow him? It suffers when we choose not to follow him. I'm going to begin winding down here. Verse number 36. Let's read this to the end of the chapter. It says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Again, that's talking about deny yourself. Don't seek yourself in the pleasures of this world, because what are you willing to risk? What are you willing to lose? Or, as it says in verse number 37, "Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" We are not put on this earth to gain the world. Gaining the world is an attempt to lose our soul. So what are you willing to exchange for your soul? Finally, verse number 38 says, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh into the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Man, this verse really hit me last night. It truly did. Because I can recall on many occasions, and you probably can too, where we have been ashamed of our faith. We've been ashamed for what we have stood for. You know, as they were closing down last Friday in the chaplain conference, which Man, I appreciated it so much. I really did. I gained so much from it. And I'm looking forward to what God has to do in this next year. But one of the things that they said at the end was this. Because in chaplaincies, you're going to be working with all sorts of different chaplains of different backgrounds, whether it be a Catholic chaplain, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, Methodist, whatever, then throw in a Baptist as well. And so you're going to be working with all those. You're going to be working with all sorts of people that you're going to try to serve and help them out through their tough moments in life. And I'll never forget the words that I believe it was Tottingham that said this. Do not be ashamed of your faith. Be proud of where you come from. Be proud of what you believe in. And that's such a true statement. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. Be proud that you are His. Boast about Him. Let the world know that you are not ashamed of being a follower of Christ. Because the last part of this verse hit me between the eyes. It says, of Him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when He cometh in the glory of His Father with the holy angels. There's nothing worse that I believe as you're growing up in life, disappointing your parents. Disappointing them. Discouraging them. But now that I'm a saved individual and I serve a Heavenly Father, the worst thing that I can think of is being a disappointment to my Heavenly Father. I don't want that. Don't be ashamed of Him. Be proud. Boast about Him. Let the world know that you love Him and that He means something to you. And I tell you what, that will change people's outlook on who He is. Boast about Him. Let's have a word of prayer and we will be dismissed tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful that we are able to gather here once again. Lord, thank You for Your words tonight. Help us as we leave from here tonight to deny ourselves, to take up Your cross, and then to follow You. Lord, I pray that we would take this on every single day. We thank You for Your love tonight. As it says in Your word, we only love because You first loved us. Bless our people as we leave from here tonight. We ask You these things in Your name. Amen.